Hi, thank you. Hey, everyone. Happy Sunday evening. I've been away for a week, and it's funny, when I'm away for a week, I don't know, I guess because I come here three times a week, when I'm away for a week, it feels like I've been gone for an eternity. It always has that feeling. So I have been away from a week. We were vacationing, Jasmine and Ron and I. We went up to Cheyenne, Wyoming, to what they call Frontier Days. It's a big rodeo. And we went to a couple rodeos, a couple concerts. We toured the prison where Butch Cassidy was incarcerated for a little bit. That was actually quite interesting. It was a very nice museum. Do I have a picture of Regina in a cowboy hat? I do. In fact, there's already some. If you go to Facebook, and you go to my profile page, I think that my cousin lives in Cheyenne, and she took some pictures, and she's already posted them and tagged me, so they show up on my profile page. So you can go there and see pictures of Regina in a cowboy hat. So yeah, we had a really nice time. I'm only here for 2 days here at my house. I'm here today, which is nearly over, and tomorrow, and then I leave again on Tuesday. On Tuesday, we are going to North Carolina, where we're going to hang out for a few days, and then we're going to Virginia for Be the Love. So I will be at Be the Love, Virginia, next weekend, and then I come back, and I'll be here for nearly a month before I leave again. In September, our next trip is Israel, so that's pretty exciting. So I'll be home between North Carolina and Virginia for a whole month before we take off for Israel. So we're having lots of fun. We're here for Holy Spirit Guides. This is the time that we've dedicated to going through reginadonacres.com and reading the personal messages that Holy Spirit has given to me to be helpful to me in my awakening. And I enjoy sharing them. We're going to be looking at, I think it's the last message I received in January 2007. We're going to be looking at that message tonight, and then we'll move on into February 2007. I've given you a link to the first message that we're going to look at tonight. It's called Knowing and Trusting Guidance. As always, before I look at the message and start reading it, I would like to say a prayer. Basically really to invoke Holy Spirit. So if you guys would join me in the prayer, I would appreciate it. Thank you. Holy Spirit, I am grateful to be gathered here again with my friends. I am also grateful for the last week. A week that by appearance was more worldly. And there wasn't the quiet time in the morning that I typically take, at least not as much of it. I did spend some time in quiet, but the routine that I have at home was not there on this week of vacation. And yet, Holy Spirit, I was aware of my true desire. I was watching my mind. I was aware of attachments that needed to be let go. I gave my willingness for attachments to be let go. I remembered my mantra. I remembered my teacher. Holy Spirit, I am grateful that you are in my mind and that you are guiding me, no matter what the body seems to do. Holy Spirit, also, once again, I want to give this body and this lifetime to you. I want to let go of all desire, all wanting of control, all wanting to direct, all wanting to make happen, and give the entire thing to you, that you may lead me in the way that is most helpful for me in my awakening. I know that I do not know what is in my best interest other than surrendering to you. So let me remember my part and let you do your part. And let me follow graciously and in gratitude that you may lead me to my awakening, which is my true desire. Thank you and amen. All right. So, I've given you all the link, but I will give it one more time. This is the link to our first message. Oh yeah, happy birthday, Regina. I forgot about that. Tomorrow is my birthday. I'll be 50 years old. And one of the really cool things about my birthday, of course, is my birthday lesson. Maybe that's everybody's really cool thing about their birthday, right? Dove has let us all know what our birthday lessons are. And I love my birthday lesson. In fact, it goes a lot with the prayer I just prayed. My birthday lesson is I place the future in the hands of God, which is really what I just prayed. It's a review lesson. I am not a body. I am free. I am still as God created me. I place my future in the hands of God. And that is really what I do. So it's a pretty cool birthday lesson, a pretty cool reminder. So yeah, tomorrow, 50 years old, I place the future in the hands of God once again. But thanks for the birthday wishes. That's nice. All right, so why don't we look at this message? Knowing and trusting guidance. It started with a question from me. Holy Spirit, I seem to be noticing my brothers as unsure of their guidance. At times, I may also believe they are making mistakes. There are brothers who feel I am mistaken about my guidance. And the thought of being unsure has popped into my mind. What would you share regarding knowing and trusting guidance? And of course, I don't know for sure, but I imagine that many of us have experienced what I'm talking about in this particular question, that, you know, maybe we see someone who tells us, you know, I'm following guidance in doing X and X and X. And something in us just isn't sure. Something in us doubts that that really is guidance. Or we may feel a prompt and think it's guidance, but then begin to doubt and question it. It seems like knowing the difference between the Holy Spirit's guidance and the ego's guidance can at times be tricky, especially if we're trying to look at someone else and determine their guidance in our mind. So that's the question I ask. And like I said, it's probably a fairly common question. Many of us maybe have had these thoughts before and wondered, you know, how do you know guidance and how do you trust guidance? So let's see what Holy Spirit has to say about that, shall we? Here's the answer that I received. The first step to knowing and trusting guidance is to know and trust you. This may seem that I am asking you to look to the ego for guidance, but I am only asking that you know where you are. Each one is guided on an individual path. This is not because each one is an individual, but because each one perceives himself as unique. Uniqueness must fall away through a path that meets uniqueness where it is and then leads steadily away from there. For each one to learn that they are not the unique one they think they are, it takes a very unique path. And I see Barb is asking for the link, so here is the link for you, Barb. But I think that we all know what I've just read, but it's a It's an important review, maybe, an important review, because we both know it and we forget it, right? That we're each going to be led along a unique path. So when it comes to judging guidance, or maybe really we should be discerning instead of judging, but I think we make the mistake of judging too. So when it comes to judging guidance or discerning guidance, it's really not appropriate to judge my guidance based on your guidance, right? So it's really not appropriate for me to say, I was guided to do this, this, and this, and so everyone else should be guided in that way also. Nor is it appropriate for me to doubt my guidance because I'm guided to do this, but you weren't, right? When we start comparing the form of our guidance and imagining that our guidance should look the same, we are mistaken. So it's pretty cool, actually, in my opinion, to just completely let go of that. Because if we do judge guidance, if I judge you because your guidance doesn't look anything like me or my guidance, if I judge you because your guidance doesn't look anything like my guidance, or if I even judge and doubt my own guidance because it doesn't look anything like yours, what that really creates for me is pain. That judgment always creates pain. So by being willing to let go of the idea that our guidance needs to look at all similar, I'm freeing myself from that pain, that comes from that comparison. So to me, it's absolutely wonderful that the first thing Holy Spirit guides us to do is to accept the idea that we will each follow a very unique path. By accepting that idea, I relieve myself of the burden of comparing and judging our guidance, our paths, right? So that's pretty cool. There we go. We let go of a bit of pain. My pants are feeling looser already. Are yours? Are you feeling a little looser because you let go of a burden that we were carrying around? You know? Yeah, that's pretty cool. All right, so let's go on. We've let go of one thing. Let's continue. The third paragraph is where I'm going now. You are to know your guidance by knowing yourself. You know at a level of intuitiveness the lessons you must learn. You know the guidance that leads you to learn those lessons and the guidance that leads away from learning them. If you choose the guidance that walks the way of undoing, you are choosing the guidance that comes from me. When you choose the guidance that comes from wanting but does not seem to involve undoing, you are not currently choosing with me. Okay, as I read this paragraph, I remembered suddenly what was going on in my life at this time. And again, let's not forget that these are personal messages that were given to me to be helpful to me right where I was at, right? I talked about this the last time I taught. It was only a couple weeks ago, but as I mentioned, it seems like an eternity. This was a period of time. NTI had finished coming. NTI was complete in the way that it was no longer being received. We had not yet received the guidance for the validation period, so that hadn't happened. We had not yet received the guidance for the publisher, so that had not happened. We're kind of in this limbo period in between where I've received all of NTI, it's all written, but the future unfoldings are still not known. So really, I'm in this limbo period is where I'm at. And this is when the thought began to come, should I get a job? And for me, the thought came from fear. Okay, because now, by this point, it's been a year and a half since I left my job. Holy Spirit asked me to leave my job and do this work. It had been a year and a half since I'd done that. At this point, I was not yet receiving any donations or any gifts from anyone. I had been living off of my savings. And, of course, it was getting small. A year and a half into it, it was getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And I wasn't writing NTI anymore. And the thought even entered my head you know, that I was just hanging around out around the house, right? That I, you know, that I need to go get a job. I need to support my daughter. You know, all those thoughts entered the mind. But at the same time, oh, sorry, Barb. I hope your family emergency works out okay. Love you. Okay, Barb is leaving. I remember I was teaching a few weeks ago, and I had to leave. Do you all remember? Because it sounded like Jasmine came falling down the stairs. Turns out she was okay. She'd only fallen at the top of the stairs. But sometimes we have to go immediately, right? So, but anyway, this was a period of time when I seemed to be in a limbo. There was still a lot of fear around money. No visible means of support. And ideas were entering into my mind that I should go and get a job, but those ideas were clearly coming from fear. I knew that. I knew that. I also knew there was an intuitiveness in me that I wasn't to go get a job. And I'll tell you, I knew exactly why. I knew. You see, you all don't really know Regina before. But Regina was very self-sufficient, and by self-sufficient, I'm going to have to use the little s, self-sufficient. You know, I could decide I wanted something, I could set a goal, and I could achieve it every time. I trusted myself, I depended on myself, I knew I could make things happen, I knew I could make life go my way. I had a track record of proving that. I knew I could take care of myself. I knew I could take care of my daughter. But you have to understand that this I that I'm talking about, this self that I'm talking about, is the ego. It was a lot of trust in the ego. And I knew also that I had to let go of that. I knew that this was a lesson I needed to learn in this lifetime, to let go of that self-dependence, right? And to follow guidance completely. Another type of self-dependence, right? The capital S self-dependence. I needed to switch. So I knew this was a lesson I had to learn. And I think I told you guys a couple weeks ago when I was teaching that what was funny was many of you, many people that I knew from ACIM Gather and the Peace of God actually joined me in my fear at that point. So what was happening was there was a lot of posts on the Peace of God saying, go get a job. And people weren't being rude, you know, like, go get a job, you lazy bum. They were, you know, NTI's done, Regina, go get a job, take care of yourself. You know? They were being very friendly, but they were encouraging me back to that little s self-dependence. And I was also receiving a lot of private emails. And again, from good friends, from caring people. And yet I knew I wasn't supposed to. I really did. It was at a level of knowing. It was at a level of knowing that if I went back and got a job and became self-dependent again in that way, it was like I was letting go of an opportunity to learn that God was real, to learn that there was something beyond this little self, right? So that's really what Holy Spirit is talking about in this particular paragraph, okay? He's talking specifically to me. This is a personal message. He says, you are to know your guidance by knowing yourself. You know at a level of intuitiveness the lessons you must learn. You know the guidance that leads you to learn those lessons and the guidance that leads away from learning them. So you see, for me, continuing in a jobless state was letting go of that, I know I can take care of myself, right? That self-dependence. To return to a job would be to return to, I can take care of myself. You see? So again, you know the guidance that leads you to learn those lessons and the guidance that leads away from learning them. If you choose the guidance that walks the way of undoing, you are choosing the guidance that comes from me. When you choose the guidance that comes from wanting but does not seem to involve undoing, you are not currently choosing with me. So you see, this is very specific for me. Spirit is saying, yes, do not go get a job, right? Because that's not going to undo for you what needs to be undone. you're going to hold on to that idea of self-dependence. You're going to hold on to that idea that Regina can take care of Regina. And that's not helpful to your awakening. The next paragraph. Each one must walk the path of undoing at a rate that is, notice this word, preferable to him. Each one must walk the path of undoing at a rate that is preferable to him. No one will walk at a speed that is faster or slower than his own desire to go. Trust each one, and you trust yourself. Okay, so another problem I used to have is when Holy Spirit would tell me to trust my brothers. For example, in this particular scenario, here I am with guidance knowing I am not to go get a job. I know that. And all of my brothers are writing to me, not all of them, but a significant number of them, are writing to me telling me to get a job. Now, if my guidance is not to get a job, and my brothers are telling me to get a job, how does that work that I trust my brothers, right? How does that work? I think the mistake that we make is thinking we are to trust the form. Okay, so if I was making the mistake, trust my brothers, and I've got 10 brothers writing to me telling me to go get a job, I would make the mistake of going and getting a job, even though my intuitive feeling was not to. You see, I'm trusting my brothers above my own guidance. That is an error. That is not what trust my brothers means. Holy Spirit has taught me that trust my brothers really means remember who they are, even if they're totally unaware. Right? It could be somebody that's not on the spiritual path at all. Someone who's addicted to drugs and stealing, for example. Like my friend Jacob, whom I haven't met, but he robbed my entire neighborhood a couple of weeks ago. I got to see his picture on the news, so I know who he is. So like my friend Jacob, right? He's addicted to drugs. He's a thief. So trust my brother. Jacob is my brother. Trust my brother. How do I trust my brother Jacob, whom I've never met, who is addicted to drugs and stealing from my neighbors, right? How do I trust my brothers when they're telling me to go and get a job and yet my guidance is not to? Well, the answer is in this paragraph. The answer is that I trust who they are. Who are they? They are the free and enlightened Son of God. That's who they are. So what that means, the enlightened Son of God, means that all wisdom is with them. All the wisdom of the universe is with them. Free means they can choose not to listen to it for now. They can choose to listen to something else. Or they can choose to let a little of it in, right? They can choose to let a little of it in. But also, every single one of my brothers, regardless of what they seem to be doing, they're on a path of awakening, right? Like Jacob right now, whoever he is. I think that was his name. It could have been Jason, something like that. We'll go with Jacob, though, since I mentioned it. Jacob, addicted to drugs and stealing to support the habit, right, is on a path of awakening. You see, what we all seek is perfect happiness. God's will for me is perfect happiness. My will and God's will are the same. What we all seek is perfect happiness. But if we are listening to the ego is a confused voice. The ego does not know who we are, and so the ego cannot know what will make us perfectly happy. But it can make suggestions like crazy. So if it suggests, for example, that getting high will make me happy, and I know many of us have heard that suggestion, so we know it, or getting drunk will make me happy, right? Having sex with lots of women will make me happy if we're a man. You know? I haven't felt that way, but I know lots of men who have felt that way. Lots of girlfriends will make me happy. Lots of money will make me happy, right? But if we're Jacob, getting high will make me happy. And so we begin to get high, probably on meth, crystal meth in this particular area. We begin to get high on crystal meth, thinking that is going to make me happy. Well, what happens is that makes me addicted. And then I have to have my crystal meth, right? And I spend all of my money, I steal from my family, I'm running out of options. I have to have my crystal meth to feel any happiness. Otherwise, I'm in total hell. So then I begin to steal, right? But what is Jacob seeking? Perfect happiness. He's on a spiritual path. What is Jacob learning? He's learning what doesn't work. But guess what happens as we learn what doesn't work? We narrow the options, right? Eventually, through learning what doesn't work, we find the path that does work. That's what we call the path of awakening. All of my brothers are awakening, and I can trust that, regardless of what decisions to make. Regardless of what decisions they make, regardless of what voice they are listening to, they are on the same path as me, and they will awaken in their time. So what happens then if my brothers join me in my fear and tell me to get a job? Does that mean that I go and get a job against my own guidance? No, that's not what trust means. It means that I trust my guidance, and I trust that my brothers will let go of their part of this fear when they're ready. So I love my brothers, I trust my brothers, and I lovingly say no to their suggestions, and I follow what I know is my guidance. You see? So if my brothers are writing to me saying they feel guided to tell me to get a job, and yet I know in my gut that that's not right for me, I follow my guidance and I trust and I love my brother, knowing that they will let go of their fear in their own time. So each one must walk the path of undoing at a rate that is preferable to him. No one will walk at a speed that is faster or slower. No one will walk at a speed that is faster or slower than his own desire to go. Trust each one, and you trust yourself. Opportunities are never lost. Opportunities are given at the time when they are desired by the mind. This can never fail to happen. Trust the unfolding of the universe, and you trust yourself. All right, let's say that I wasn't as ready as it appears that I was. Let's say that when this limbo, this period of time came, this get a job came, right? I joined my brothers even more in that fear. And I went and got a job. Does that mean that I blew it? I went against my guidance. Have I sinned against the Holy Spirit? I think sometimes that's what we fear, is that if we go against our guidance, we're sinning against the Holy Spirit. Of course not. I've made a choice. And I am the free Son of God. I am absolutely free to make a choice. So I made a choice. The opportunity was given to let go of the belief in self-dependence. But if I was too fearful, if I was not fully ready, if that seemed like too big of a step for me, and I ran back to my old ways of getting a job, that's okay. That's okay. Opportunities are never lost. Opportunities are given at the time when they are desired by the mind. this can never fail to happen. So, when I am more ready, another opportunity will come to let go of self-dependence. I have not screwed up. I've not done anything. Right? Trust the unfolding of the universe, and you trust yourself. And I'll tell you, I trust the unfolding of the universe. In fact, you may have heard me during my prayer talk about this last week when I was on vacation and away from, you know, my more spiritual habits of the day, the habits that are guided, but my more spiritual habits. I was kind of in a different world for a week. And a couple of times the idea entered my mind to judge myself for not taking my quiet time in the morning, for example. But I didn't. You see, that was immediately answered by Holy Spirit. The idea to judge myself was immediately answered by the Holy Spirit with, literally, trust the unfolding of the universe. Trust that every step of my path is being guided. Remember what I want and trust. So I trusted that this week of vacation, this week of change, this week of different, was just as perfect as the weeks that appear to have a stronger spiritual focus through what the body is doing. I ask my guide consistently to lead me to the fulfillment of my true desire. I give my life to my guide consistently, and I ask for the unfolding that will lead me to my awakening. Now, why not just trust that? Why judge it and say it should look this way or it should look that way? Why not let go of all judgment, continue to pray my heartfelt prayers, and trust that my prayers are being answered by the unfolding of the universe, by the unfolding of this lifetime, through every step that I take? Why not live in trust instead of fear or judgment? Why always think it should look different than it does? I'm reminded of NTI Romans chapter 2, where Holy Spirit teaches us a little bit about what the Course calls the tiny mad idea. And we're told that we asked a question, right? What would it be like if everything was different than it is? And that this question was a judgment, the first judgment. Some people might call it the original sin, if you like the language of the Bible, but it was not a sin. But it was the first error, the first mistake, the first idea that led us away from truth into untruth. Well, if wishing it was different was the first error, the error that led from truth into untruth, does it make sense to continue that wish? If I am praying for guidance, if I am giving my life over to my guide, if I am praying every day consistently for the fulfillment of my true desire, then why look at the life that is unfolding before me and wish it looked different? Can you hear the error there? Why not trust it? Why not trust everything? What is it that Dove is always writing from the Course? Something about what could you not accept, right, Dove? What could you not accept if you knew who walked with you or something like that? Yes. See, that's trust everything. Why say it should look different? And not only do I not want to have that error about me and my life, but I don't want to have that error about you and your life. What an error I make when I look at you and the choices you are making, and I judge them as wrong. I judge them as not following, quote, guidance. Right? Aren't I still wishing it was different? And aren't I not trusting you? Isn't my guidance to trust my brother Isn't my guidance to trust the unfolding of the universe? Isn't my guidance to trust all things? Then where does judgment and doubt come into that? It doesn't. It doesn't. Whatever choices you make, my job is to trust you. Yeah, Dove has written out the quote for me. It's from Workbook Lesson 135. What could you not accept if you but knew that everything that happens, all events, past, present, and to come, are gently planned by one whose only purpose is your good? Right? And then he's also written, Spirit accepts always, knowing all is perfect. Right? Trust all things. Trust my life. Trust your choices. Trust the unfolding of the universe. It could never for a moment be anything but perfect. And when we step into that frame of mind, we feel joy. If I am judging your choices, if I am judging my life, I feel pain. Holy Spirit is giving us another opportunity to let go of pain. Why should I judge my life? Sorry for the giggle, but Laurent Elie Levy just entered the room. That always makes me giggle. But why judge my life? Why say it should look different than it does? Why say I should be somewhere other than where I am? I should be spending my day differently than I am. Why not trust all things? Isn't that the guidance? So for the last paragraph of the message, resting the mind is always a useful practice. Find times to be still and think of nothing. Ask no questions and seek no answers. Simply rest and be aware of the presence that is me. In these times, you are filled with wisdom and knowing, which will manifest as guidance when the time is right, based upon your own willingness and your truest desire for the path of healing. So what does that mean? I have a guidance that I can practice anywhere. It doesn't matter if I'm on vacation with my family. It doesn't matter if I'm alone in my house with just NTI, A Course in Miracles, and Ramana Maharshi by my side. It doesn't matter if I'm out hiking with my dog, which I did this morning. That was wonderful. It doesn't matter if I'm driving down the street. It doesn't matter if I'm at work. I can find time to rest my mind. I can find time to be still and think of nothing. I can find time to ask no questions and seek no answers. I can always find time to simply rest and be aware of the presence. See, I just did it. It only takes a moment. Be still and be aware of the presence. And when we do this, although there may not be words that we are journaling out, right? Hey, Carrie. I know Carrie from many years back as well. It's nice to see you, Carrie. Although there may not be words that I journal out, right? There may seem to be nothing in form. It may seem to be nothing in form from that moment of stillness. But Spirit says, this is when I am filled with wisdom and knowing. So maybe I can't tell you what I got out of that moment. It's not going to say, I just took a moment to be still and I got this guidance to say this sentence next, right? It may not be like that. There may have been nothing but this moment of stillness. Right? Nothing in form at all. But yet, in that moment, I allowed myself to be filled with wisdom and knowing. And that formless wisdom manifests as form guidance when the time is right. And in fact, if anyone practices this way, if anyone practices moments of stillness, right? Resting the mind, asking no questions, seeking no answers, just being, then you also know that the more that you practice that, the more you are naturally and easily guided in what to say and what to do and what to think even, right? There's a natural guidance. So, Spirit says resting the mind is always a useful practice. That's when I'm opening the door and letting in the light. And if I open the door and let in the light is there to guide me. Pretty soon, all of my activities, all of my thinking, all of my saying, my going, my doing, is just being naturally moved by what we often call being in the flow. But it's being naturally moved by the light that I allowed through stillness. And I can always find time for stillness. You know, I joke, but it's very true. I joke, but it's true. That a magnificent time, at least for the ladies. I've never been a man, so I don't know if it's quite the same. But at least for the ladies, every single time we go to take a pee, we have an opportunity for stillness. We are alone in a bathroom or a stall, sitting there for a moment. Why not take an extra moment? And we pee several times a day, right? So even if we don't remember to take stillness any more than that, remembering every single time we pee is helpful. Laurent is saying also when we poop. Right? And if we start remembering to take an extra moment on the toilet every time we pee, pretty soon we're going to start noticing other opportunities for stillness in the day. People that come to my house often complain about how slow my computer is because, you know, you'll click on a link or something and then it doesn't go immediately there. But do you know what I do with that? I'm sure you can guess. I take a moment of stillness. I don't mind my slow computer at all. It's an opportunity for stillness, right? You'll start noticing opportunities all throughout the day. And every time you take one of those opportunities, you are filled with wisdom and knowing, which will manifest as guidance when the time is right. You're allowing yourself to be in the flow. So that's the last message that I received from Holy Spirit in January of 2007, Knowing and Trusting Guidance. I'm going to share with you another link. If you're already in reginadonacres.com, if you just go to the top of the message we were just reading, you'll see where it says a single quiet promise. And you can click on that, and that will take you to the next thing I'm going to share. But if you aren't already in reginadonacres.com and you want to join us, you can click on the link that I just posted, and that will take you to the single quiet promise, which is what I'm going to read next. It's very short, but it's very important, at least for me. Right, on my path, my awakening. Hear that? It means my drink is almost gone. Oh, well. No, I don't need another drink. I'll be done in 15 minutes. I'll be fine. I'm drinking a strawberry limeade. And I just sucked through my straw really hard, and a strawberry came through. So I'm chewing a strawberry now. Yum, yum. All right. Yeah, Sonic's strawberry limeades are very good. Yes. All right, here we go. A single quiet promise. Now, I've told you guys the story of what was happening in my life at the time, but a few people have entered the room, so let me just quickly summarize again. This was after NTI had arrived, but before anything was really happening with it. I'd not yet received the guidance to do a validation. I'd not yet received the guidance of the publisher, right? So I'm kind of like in this limbo state in between, Okay? And the thought entered my mind out of fear that I should get a job. Many of my friends from the Peace of God and ACIM Gather agreed that I should go get a job. But my guidance was not to, right? My guidance was not to. And the reason my guidance was not to is because I had a belief that I could take care of myself, an ego belief that I'm very responsible. I can take care of myself. I can make things happen. And it was time for this belief to be undone and for me to surrender and learn that God is real. I don't know how else to say that. To let go of my belief in me, little me, and my responsibility and my ability to take care of myself, and to start to surrender to something bigger. Okay? So, I felt guided to make this single quiet promise. And this is something I took very seriously. I don't think I've ever taken anything more seriously than what I'm about to read to you. So this was the promise I felt guided to make to God, to myself, to the universe. I choose to teach that the world is not real by living as if it isn't. I will not live by the world's rules, and I will not think or figure out for myself. I will trust and follow guidance in full trust that by trusting, I will learn that which I would teach. I felt like by taking on this promise, I was giving a gift to all of us, not just to me. Remember, I told you that many of my friends, all course students, right, joined me in my fear and asked me to get a job. And there's a reason for that. Because although we studied the course and we come in to ACIM Gather and we talk about the course and on the Peace of God we make posts about the course, the truth is that we still believed the world more. This is why my friends joined me in my fear, because these particular friends were joined with me and still trusting the world more than God, than what we learn when we study the course, than what we teach when we come in ACIM Gather. So they didn't want me to be stupid. They wanted me to do what was smart. Follow the rules of the world and go get a job and take care of yourself, Regina. You have a daughter. Don't be stupid. And they weren't insulting me. They were simply expressing what we were all at that point believing, them and I, I'm not speaking about you necessarily, but what we were all at that point believing, that really the world was real, right? We can talk about God, we can study God, we can do some of these practices to a point, but when it comes down to things like survival, the world's rules apply and we must follow them. It's not what I wanted to learn. I knew I could teach myself that. I had been teaching myself that all of this lifetime. But it's not what my heart wanted me to learn. I wanted to learn through my own choice of demonstration that the world is not real, that we can trust God, that we can follow our guidance, whatever that guidance is, and it will be perfect. I wanted to teach by making that choice. So as you guys know, I did not go get a job. I chose to continue to follow guidance, whatever guidance would come, right? Whatever guidance would come. When the guidance came not to look for a publisher, one would be provided. I chose not to look for a publisher, and one was provided. When the guidance came to join with Laurent, who is in the room, to let go of the man I was with at the time and join with Laurent, I let go of the man I was with and I joined with Laurent, and I think that was absolutely perfect for both of us. When the guidance came to leave where I was living and move to Pueblo, where I didn't even know where Pueblo was, I had to go look it up on a map. I put my house up for sale, and when it sold, I left and I came to Pueblo. And I didn't think for myself, I didn't think, is that really smart, according to what I've learned in the world? I chose to put that thinking aside. I chose to put the world's rules aside. Everything that I'd learned is smart, you know, based on the laws of the world. I chose to put that aside and follow guidance. Now again, follow guidance, not make things up. You know, sometimes Ken Wapnick says, don't be stupid. What Ken Wapnick is talking about is don't make up your own guidance. Don't quit your job when you didn't really receive that guidance, right? And I agree with Ken on that completely. But my guidance was clear. I knew when to leave my job. I knew when not to look for a publisher. I knew when to leave Ron and join with Laurent. I knew when to move to Pueblo. I was following guidance. I was not being stupid. I was listening to wisdom in order to unlearn that the rules of the world were my protection, and that I could depend on little me. And I chose to make this choice not just for me, but for everyone, because obviously I was not alone in my fear. I was not alone in my belief that the world is real. I was not alone in my thinking that we can study A Course in Miracles and NTI and talk about A Course in Miracles and NTI, but when push comes to shove, boy, we better listen to the world. I was not alone in that thought, but I honestly chose as a gift to all of us, honestly, to be brave enough to not follow that thought, to be brave enough to follow my guidance instead. And I remember shortly after this time, even my mom said something about, you know, my mom's a Baptist, but she said something about, you know, just not being sure about that, about being able to, you know, trust God instead of the world, you know. And I told her, I said, you don't have to, Mom. I said, you don't have to. You keep doing things the way you feel comfortable. I said, I'll do it. And you can learn through watching me that God is real. See, I did it for everyone. For anyone else who just doesn't feel ready, who feels afraid, who isn't sure, that's okay. Remember what we read in the previous message. Everyone goes at their own pace. But I'm here to go for all of us so people can watch and they can say, oh, look, Regina's trusting and she's okay. And that's going to help for those who aren't yet ready. That's going to help to increase that readiness, right? That example, so that when their guidance comes, and I know some people do this, they'll remember, well, Regina followed her guidance and she was okay. I'll follow mine. And then that person becomes an example for someone else, right? It's like a domino effect. About 6 months after I made this single quiet promise, I think, if I got my years straight. Yeah, I got my years straight. 6 months after I followed, after I made the single quiet promise, I went to China. My dad was there, and we were sitting in an airport in China one day, and my dad started saying things about, you know, he was worried because I didn't have a job. And he said, I know you're okay now. But his concern was, what about the future? You know, like, what about, you know, when you're retired? You're not putting any money in Social Security. You're not saving for your retirement. What about the future? And my dad is a very conservative man, and my dad definitely believes in the, you know, taking care of myself, right? And he also knows I can do it. He knows I can get a good job and take care of myself. And he believes everyone should do that, get a job. You know, he's very traditional. So he's very worried, and he said, you know, what about the future? What about the future? And I said, Dad, You and I have a lot of things in common, and I remember that I listed some things he and I had in common. I don't remember now what they were. But I said, Dad, you and I have a lot of things in common. And I said, but there's one thing that's different about us. You are living as if the world is real, and I am living as if it's not. If you knew my dad, you'd know that that was a pretty bizarre statement for me to make to my dad. But do you know what my dad said to me? He said, Regina, there's one thing I know. There are a lot of fools in this world, and you are not one of them. Talk to Ron later. So, somehow my dad, who's a very traditional man and not anywhere near the thinking that we are learning in A Course in Miracles and NTI, and I know my dad couldn't possibly even understand intellectually that sentence, I'm living as if the world is not real, right? He couldn't even begin to understand that sentence. Somehow he connected to something in me that he knew it was okay that I was trusting. I mean, I'm sure he could never put it into words any differently than he did, right? There are a lot of fools in this world, and you are not one of them. And so far, by following my guidance, I think that we've proven my father right. You know, again, the guidance just keeps coming, and the undoing keeps occurring, and, well, it's just perfect. But as I mentioned, this day when I made the single quiet promise was a very important day to me and for me. Let me read the single quiet promise again. I choose to teach, and I meant by teach, I meant through demonstration, right? The Course says to teach is to demonstrate. I didn't mean I choose to talk about. I meant I choose to demonstrate through my choices. I choose to teach that the world is not real by living as if it isn't. I will not live by the world's rules, and I will not think or figure out for myself. Because that's that self-dependency, right? I remember I told you guys earlier, I could set a goal and I could figure out how to get there. I could figure things out. I've been good at that. But I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm laying that down. I choose to teach that the world is not real by living as if it isn't. I will not live by the world's rules, and I will not think or figure out for myself. I will trust and follow guidance in full trust that by trusting, I will learn that which I would teach. So notice I'm admitting in the promise that I wasn't yet to the point of knowing that the world was not real. I made this promise because at that point I still believed the world was real. But I was making a choice to be brave enough to take the steps to follow guidance. Through that demonstration, teach that it isn't, that the world isn't real. And through that demonstration, to learn that it isn't, that the world is not real. To learn that God is all that is real. And to learn that I could trust God. I'm receiving a private message. I'll go ahead and accept it since I'm kind of done here. Oh, it's just a hello, so I'm going to let that go because I don't chat while I'm teaching. But I don't chat much at all, to be honest. Those who know me know that I'm really not a chatter anymore. Let's see. So I noticed that somebody asked, what is Pueblo? Lee asked, what is Pueblo? And I noticed that Carrie answered, it's Pueblo, Colorado. And that Lynn mentioned that she and I both live here, and that is true. We live here. Donna Marvel, who is not in the room right now, but is often in the room, she lives here as well. So does Danielle Wright. So we have a small little community here in Pueblo. It's very nice. It's very lovely. And I think I'm done. So next week we will, I will not be here because guess where the heck I'm going to be? I'm going to be at Be the Love next week. So I will not be here. So it'll be 2 weeks from now when we read the next message, which is called Step Back into the Observer Role. So until then, oh, and you know what? I think the next message, Laurent, Step Back into the Observer Role, that's the message that you read. That was the first message that you read, which led you to contact me. Yeah, so that's the next message that I'll be doing 2 weeks from tonight. By the way, for those of you who don't know, Laurent is going to Israel with us. We have a party of 14 traveling, 9 Americans, and the rest are French. And Laurent is one of the French ones. He's coming along, so that's going to be a lot of fun. All right, you guys, it is time for me to get out of here. So that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to go upstairs and pay bills. Because even though I'm living as if the world is not real, I do still pay my bills. I'm like Ken says, don't be stupid. My guidance is to pay my bills and live by the, I live by the laws of the world in the way that, like I don't cheat on my taxes, that kind of thing. So in that way, I'm guided to live by the laws of the world, including pay bills. So I'm going to go do that now. I'll see you guys in a couple of weeks, I guess. Bye.